ticklish business any way you look at it. Come on, we'll stick together.
It's Ticklish Business, the podcast devoted to honoring and deconstructing the world of classic cinema. As always, I'm your host, Kristen Lopez. This week, I interview Kelly Kitchens, creator of the Going to the TCM Classic Film Festival Facebook group. I'll also play some past TCM Film Festival audio. We'll start things off with an interview that I did last year with TCM guest programmer Sister Rose Picotti.
I'm good, how are you?
I'm fine, thank you.
My feet are sore. Exactly, I beg. Well, you are introducing The Song of Bernadette, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. What do you think it is about that movie that leaves it resonating with audiences?
It's beautiful, first of all.
It is.
The black and white is the best. But it's her innocence, her authenticity, and her humility as a person, that she is herself, and she speaks truth to power. This young girl in the middle of in the Pyrenees Mountains.
Going up against Vincent Price, exactly.
And she's just who she is.
Yeah.
That must be who we all are.
Well, and what do you think it is about, I mean, you look at something like The Song of Bernadette, it's a very inclusive type of film that doesn't really stick to one denomination, it's just faith in general. What do you think that, I mean, what is it about classic films that dealt with faith? How do they stick out, I guess, more than today's conception of a faith-based film?
Well, my goodness, we take something like The Bells of St. Mary.
Yes.
Right? And today's faith-based movies? Sometimes I like The Bells of St. Mary's better, even though that's a little bit of a, you know, people will say it's not a movie that challenges people very much. But if you're a sister and you look at that movie, you see it differently. The same with The Song of Bernadette, or classic movies that came out after, like The Sea Wife, or Heaven Knows Mr. Allison, all those movies about nuns, that they resonate with people who've ever thought about a commitment to God, whether you're Catholic or not. And I think that's one of the things that stands out.
And I have to ask, because I loved your recent Catholic Media of Decency series. What was that like to do?
Turner Classic Movies, they were great to work with. They let me write the scripts, and because I really wanted to own the material, right? It was really great to be able to delve into the history of each of the films that I saw. I think I introduced 17 of them. And then to really find out why they were condemned or objectionable, found objectionable, and how even years later, though, the Catholic Office went back and reclassified some of them, because there's such a historical context and a cultural context for how films are viewed. Things change, times change.
Exactly. Just thank you so much. I'm excited to hear your intro to Song of Bernadette.
Thank you. We'll see you on Sunday.
Next, you'll hear my interview with Keith Carradine.
Good, thanks. How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing a lot better now that I get to talk to you.
Yeah.
How's the festival experience for you this year?
Well, so far so good. I mean, I just got here. I've just been doing the red carpet. I'm looking forward to getting inside, seeing old friends, and seeing some amazing movies, beginning with All the President's Men.
And, exactly.
And I'm a huge TCM fan. I have been ever since they came into existence. In fact, I just did a TCM spotlight on Western movies that's going to be on TCM in July, every Tuesday and Wednesday night in July.
Less from you.
Yeah.
Well, I guess how does the theme of this year, movies that move you, what does a movie have to do to move you?
Well, you know, if it touches my heart, I'm moved.
Awesome. And you've made so many movies that have moved others. I mean, Andre. I got to talk about Andre.
Andre, that was a very, very sweet story and a true story.
Exactly. Yeah. It touched me. So, do you have a favorite movie that you've ever made? Is that even possible to pick?
You know, it's hard for me to pick a favorite that I've made. I have great experiences making movies. I have wonderful memories of having made the movies. And a lot of times those are more important to me than how well the film might have done. But certainly, you know, the films I made with Robert Altman were extraordinary experiences. The films I made with Alan Rudolph, the films that were labors of love, you know, those are the ones that really stay with me the longest.
I just rewatched Pretty Baby the other day with Brooke Shields.
And Louis Malle.
That was a movie that I analyzed, and a lot of people were surprised that I really liked it. I love that.
It's an amazing film.
It is. It's beautiful.
Film.
It looks
It's beautiful.
Gorgeous.
It's Spandikvist.
Exactly. So thank you so much for stopping. It's great to see you again.
My pleasure.
And let's give a listen to my interview with Chris Lemon, son of Jack Lemon.
Well, your father made so many amazing movies. I mean, to name them all would take us forever. There's so many. Do you have a favorite one that moves you?
It's interesting. I've asked that question an awful lot, and there are a number of them that do that. If I had to pick a definitive film of his, it would have to be The Apartment. And the reason I say that is because he was always befuddled by the fact that, actors were pigeonholed as either comedic or dramatic actors. And that was the first time he was able to, in the footprints of his greatest idol, Jean-Louis Barrault from Les Enfants de Paradis, to seamlessly intertwine comedy and drama. And for that reason, I've got to give him the tip of the hat. I do in my show. It's The Apartment.
Well, I was going to say, I just saw Cowboy the other day, and that's a different performance for him as the tenderfoot that kind of becomes the cowboy. And I think that was a different performance for me.
I think it was a wild one for him as well. It's been a while since I've seen Cowboy. Now I got to go back and watch it again with Glenn Ford.
Yes.
Yeah. That one is more sort of unidirectional. I mean, it moves in one direction, whereas The Apartment, I think, really... It was almost like impressionistic
yes.
music and impressionistic painting. Billy Wilder took a marvelous palette of colors and splashed them on a screen with seeming abandon. Yet there was great direction.
Exactly.
It moved in a very specific direction. As I do the play that I'm doing right now, My Father's Voice, and as he said, when I finally got the chance to show people what I thought acting should be all about, that's when I finally got the chance to play those roles that I'd only ever dreamed of, like Joe Clay in the days of Wine and Roses.
Amazing.
And that's when he really brought it home. And guess who directed Days of Wine and Roses?
Exactly, which is an amazing film. Him and Lee Remick are fantastic together.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for stopping.
Pleasure.
It's amazing to get to
Lovely
talk
speaking
to you.
With you.
Have a great night.
All right, thank you.
My main discussion this week is with Kelly Kitchens, the creator of the Going to the TCM Classic Film Festival Facebook group. In our interview, we discuss TCM tips and tricks and some of the Sophie's choices that we'll be making during this year's TCM Classic Film Festival.
Today I am here with the phenomenal Kelly Kitchens talking about the TCM Film Festival. Kelly, how are you?
Thank you so much, Kristen. I am fabulous.
Kelly, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I live in Dallas, Texas with my husband, Mark Wickersham. This will be our eighth year going to the TCM Classic Film Festival. I am an independent film publicist here in Dallas. I love classic film. Anytime I can see or be at or be around classic film in Dallas, I am. Since I work so many film festivals, and since Mark and I met actually at a film festival in Dallas, the TCM Classic Film Festival is our beloved vacation.
It could be a dating service if they really monetized it well enough.
I think you're right. I have to tell you that after the first festival, we met such amazing people. And so that was in 2010. And I was determined to stay in touch with these amazing people that I met. And so that's when I decided to create the Going to TCM Classic Film Festival Facebook page. Really, it remained very small, very
close-knit.
I knew everybody on the page for about the first 2 years. You know, it was like 30 to 40 people the first year. And third year, in 2012, we were interviewed by Ben Minkowitz there at the festival. And we were talking about the group. And I proudly said, yes, we have more than 70 members. And now here it is, 5 years after that.
I was going to ask, how many members are we currently? It's over several hundred, I would assume.
It's way more than that. I have 48 people who are asking to join at this very moment. We currently have 1,108 members.
That is phenomenal.
I don't know if most people know this, but I vet everybody that I let in, meaning that if you ask to be a part of our Facebook group, you have to have some inkling of classic movie loving on your Facebook page that is public for people to see. And if you don't, then decline those people that don't and wait until they do. If they look like they're just there to be trollers, then I decline them altogether. I give everybody a benefit of the doubt, even if they say they love Elvis music or they're into vintage fashion, because I figure that all in that same little circle, they may actually love classic films. And I figure that most people who love vintage clothes and love old music, Elvis, Sinatra, you know, will probably also love classic films.
This will be my fourth film festival. You and I are old hat by this point. Yes. We've covered the festival from all angles. Let's try to give a nice little summation of some of the things that people can expect from actually attending the fest. I always like to give people some things that they can really come to expect. Both of us would say a lot of movies.
Yes.
It's always interesting to hear people who fall into certain camps. They either are really excited about seeing the movies or they're really excited about seeing the celebrities. And you get people on both sides that say, I don't like the movies they're showing this year, or I don't like the guest stars that they're showing this year. What do you tend to do when you're looking at the festival schedule? Do you lean towards special guests first, or do you lean towards the films first?
Mark and I are very specific in how we prioritize our schedule. We will sit down at dinner one night, and this is how we prioritize our festival schedule, our personal festival schedule. First of all, top priority is seeing things that you can't see anywhere except for a festival like this. Some of those things, like in years past, have been the Donovan Affair, which was a film that one of the first Capra films was a talkie, but it had lost the soundtrack, meaning there was no voices, no anything available. So they hired this group in New York to read lips, and they recreated the dialogue based on that and based on what's left of a partial script they found and what was left from censor notes. Then they had to fill in the rest of the 20% that they couldn't read those lips. And so they had live actors performing in front of the stage. They were looking at the screen and performing live with a piano accompaniment. That was an extraordinary experience. We will never be able to really see that again unless we venture up to New York and go to the Film Forum. There was one year a Nicholas Brothers tribute. It was the Nicholas Brothers home movies, and they were presented by the Nicholas Brothers family. Their home movies were everything from showing the marquees that they were on with other stars to behind-the-scenes footage of them performing in film. They were extraordinary filmmakers, home movie filmmakers themselves. Those are our number one thing that we see when it comes to prioritizing what we're going to see. The next thing down is the silent films with live accompaniment scores. This year, it's going to be Harold Lloyd Speedy with the Alloy Orchestra performing. And we've seen the Alloy Orchestra perform to The General and to Metropolis. Well, both of them were just extraordinary because they added in so many more sound effects and the normal, quote unquote, normal live accompaniment that you would see or hear. That's always top of our list. Third down from there are things that we've never seen or never heard of. And generally, those would be things that are just recently found, the discoveries, things that have just been restored. So this year, we have nitrate as a possibility. There's only maybe three places, at least in the United States, that you can see a film on nitrate film. And from what I understand, it's black and white. The blacks are blacker than you've ever seen. And the white just shimmers off the screen. And apparently for the color, like Technicolor, the colors just drip.
You have quite the organizational structure. I wish I was that discerning when I look at these. I'm always different. You know, the last couple of festivals, I've actually scheduled like food breaks, which this year is probably going to be the first year that I don't really worry about how food is going to get in my stomach because I want to see everything, which is it's been rare, but usually I can be pretty, if I miss that, I'm not going to feel too upset. But I'm usually the one who errs towards the people, because as we all saw last year, which is the mass exodus of classic Hollywood stars who pass, my argument always is, you might not see these people next year. I love the Club TCM conversation, because you don't have to walk all the way down to the Montalban Theater, which is, depending on where you stay, quite a trek. So we've done the Montalban one time, so we did it last year for Faye Dunaway, and it was a hike.
And you have to figure in the time that you're missing other potential things.
They did a Shirley MacLaine conversation. I vowed I was not going to miss that conversation no matter what I did. I sat in the front row of Club TCM in the afternoon. Her conversation, I don't think it was until about 4 or 5. I got there at noon. And I stayed and watched the two preceding panels, which were very interesting. I think one of them was about silent film with Serge Bromberg. There was another one before that was very interesting. But I had a front row seat for when Shirley MacLaine was there. And it was an amazing experience because she's a firecracker. Oh. It was supposed to be a formal interview. People are shouting names out at her and she's talking trash about certain people. You're never going to get a moment. And for most people, they're not going to screen that for people on the channel. So I always try to do that if I can, or if they have a great intro. Last year, we all ran to get in line for Angela Lansbury because it's Angela Lansbury. And this year, I plan on making time for Geneviève Bujold, who I've loved since I was in seventh grade. And I told everybody, I'm like, I don't care what's happening. I'm going to see the intro. I'm one of those rude people, though, where if I'm not really keen on the movie, I'll sit in the back. And then once the intro's over, I'll slip out and then go run to something else. Try to err towards the things, the people that I'm never really going to get to see again. Or do the movies where the experience, depending on what theater it's in. So my first festival, they'd show Meet Me in St. Louis. One of my favorite movies, I've seen it countless times, but seeing it in that theater, which has so much history with all these people who do it.
And hearing Margaret O'Brien,
yes,
she got that coat back, and she can still wear it. She's adorable. See, here's what I love about the festival. You have to choose between 4 or 5 different things that are happening all at one time. 6 things sometimes. Sometimes it is a Sophie's choice. The fact that they offer that and that we're not all trying to squeeze in the same one room.
TCM is one of the few festivals where even if you don't get your second or third choice, whatever you really end up doing is just as good. I can recall last year, the handprint ceremony with Francis Ford Coppola was really quick because it was sweltering out. And so I was sitting there thinking, okay, well, everything that I really wanted to see has started. But they were showing The Way We Were right at the Cineplex, which I'd never seen The Way We Were. And I was like, okay, well, I got some time to kill. I'll go. I had a friend who was with me, and we went and we watched it. It was a very small turnout because I think a lot of people thought the movie's fairly recent in classic terms, but me and my friend had such fun watching the movie. So, I mean, it ended up being a great use of the time.
So we've had that as well. And we've had a couple of surprises. We went and saw the Gregory Peck film last year, and neither Mark nor I had ever seen it, To the Kingdom. And we were delighted by that film. It was beautiful. It was witty and it was so poignant, but it wouldn't have been our first choice, but we couldn't get into our first choice. So we were like, well, let's go see this. We haven't seen it. That was one of the delights. We love to be delighted by seeing something that we haven't seen before, in some cases even heard of. And there's a number of them that are happening this year. One I can think of off the top of my head is The Cock of the Air.
I've had experiences where I don't want to go see the movie at all. my travel companion who is going with me, and I usually have one movie where she's like, we're going. And I'm like, fine, I guess. I think it was 2 years ago. It was on Her Majesty's Secret Service. I had no interest in going to see this movie at all. It was late at night, too. I think it was like an 8 o'clock, 9 o'clock show. So it didn't get out till 11. I was not happy to go see this at all. And we went. George Lazenby was the intro. Him and Ben were there. And he proceeded to tell these completely off-the-rail stories that involved him sleeping around with other ladies and making crass comments about people, to the point where when you flummox Ben Mankiewicz to the point that he doesn't have words, you know you're in for a lot of fun. It was such fun. I can't say I had the same love for the movie. I ended up sleeping through a part of it because I just, one of the things that I always say, the bucket list things, the things that you keep saying you're going to do at the festival and you just for some reason never get to them. Are there things like that for you?
There are, like you were talking about, going to see the conversations over at the Maltabon Theater. We have not made it over to the Maltabon Theater yet. We have been very blessed, I would say, because there's only been three films that we weren't able to get into. One of them was the same film, and this had it as a TBA, was called On Approval. We got bumped out of that one twice, and then we saw it on TCM, and we were like, okay, we didn't really like this anyway.
You gotta love when that happens.
And the other one was Black Cat. I hated missing that, but that was one of those where it was a last minute, we can actually squeeze one more film in. Let's go do it. And we were there too late. We see between 16 and 18 films Thursday night, starting about 7 o'clock until Sunday. And then usually two on Thursday. We maximize our time.
One of the things that I always say that I'm going to do that I never do is the midnight screenings. I always say that I want to do the midnight screenings. The first two festivals that I went to had really great midnight screenings. The first year I went, they did Freaks, and they did Eraserhead 1 year. Last year, GOG sounded fun, but it didn't sound like enough to get me to go wait in line at 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
I was really mad I missed Boom, the Burton Taylor movie. Gets to about 10 o'clock. I'm getting up at 5:30, 6 o'clock to get ready, so that we can be on the sidewalk by 8. Same with the get-togethers. Usually Thursday night, Wednesday night, they do some gatherings with people at one of the restaurants or bars in the area. And I always get asked, do you want to go? And I'm like, no, because I know I'm going to be running around for the next 4 days. I should probably enjoy this moment of solitude before. Those are the two big things where I keep saying, I really should do that.
1 year they showed The Tingler. They had the seats in the Egyptian wired so that the seats would tingle. Also in the film is where they cut the film off and the ushers run through the auditorium and there's like a flying skeleton inside the auditorium. And I hated to miss that because when else are you going to be able to see something? But, you know, you can't do everything.
They include food and sleep at a certain point. That opens up the door for tips. There's always a lot of first timers who go to the festival. What are some tips that we can throw out that will help them navigate and not be overwhelmed?
First of all, I say if you can get there early, to get there early and to meet and talk to as many people as you possibly can. We have met so many people at the TCM Film Festival who are from Texas, and we're now friends with them. We see them on a regular basis. The other thing I would say is to stick together. As you're walking up and down Hollywood Boulevard, look for other people with badges on. Clump together, stick together. My other tip is someone offers you a sit down to Hollywood Boulevard, do not take it. Just keep walking.
Navigating Hollywood Boulevard is one of the big things. It takes a couple of times to really get it. By the time you get to Sunday, you'll be old hat, but then it takes you at least a day or two in the next festival to remember how you did it the first time. If you're going down to the Montauban, if you're going to a midnight show, particularly a Saturday or Sunday, so Friday into Saturday, Saturday into Sunday, the farther out you stay, you're definitely going to want to rely on Uber or Lyft. If you are fearful of the local color, definitely have the list app on your phone. The festival itself, I always try to tell people, don't go to the first pool screening, because the first pool screening is always the busiest. There's never seats. Try to go to the Saturday one, because that's a little better, and the earlier you get there, the better, because, again, those seats around the pool go very quickly. I always wonder why they don't allow people to sit on the edge of the pool, as long as you're not being disorderly with the water. Getting in the pool, you're just going to, like, hang out on the side.
I wonder if that's a rule now. My other suggestion or tip is, when you get there, go immediately. There's a CVS that has a sort of makeshift grocery store. Go to that and just buy some snacks that you're going to want to put in your bag to snack on. Generally, we eat a big breakfast. We hardly eat anything else the rest of the day. We try to find time to go either to Pick and Whistle or to Michelli's or to this little bitty tiny Chinese food place that I can't remember the name of. We don't really eat very much.
We have actually made time to have a sit-down meal, although this year I don't know if that's going to happen. But I'm always the one at the coffee bean who gets a coffee and gets a breakfast. Thankfully, there's a lot of places where you can, I think, where you can call and order and always pick up, can always eat in line. Become very popular if you're the one with real food.
They've really mastered the numbering system for TCM. So you wait to get your number of where you are in line, and then you can leave the line and go and get food, because, boy, those lines, you want to get there early as you can for your specific pick.
If you're traveling with a wheelchair, they haven't really figured out a system in terms of whether to give priority to wheelchair seating because of how small certain theaters are. My big pet peeve that I wish they would fix. I know that we got shut out of Maureen O'Hara when she'd introed How Green Was My Valley at El Capitan.
Uh-huh.
Technically, they let us in, but there, I think, were only about 5 or 6 wheelchair spaces in the theaters. And you're dealing with old theaters that have been retrofitted, which usually means they're dealing with the bare minimum of ADA compliance. TCM's camera crew wanted to shoot in those boxes and didn't really know that was where handicap seats were going to go, and they were already set up. So we just stayed smushed in the corner to watch the intro and then left. But last year, I know that they, in certain theaters, were actually pulling wheelchair people aside and telling them to wait down in certain areas. That was not the standard. So I don't know if that's a thing, but if you are definitely traveling with somebody who needs a wheelchair seat, if you're going to the Egyptian, there's about 4 spaces.
Wow.
If you can get first in line, that's the best. The Egyptian is probably the least handicap friendly of the theaters. The Egyptian has a great ramp that we call the death ramp, where it's like a 90 degree angle. People have asked, especially on your site, celebrity sighting. What do we do? There are celebrities around. And TCM is one of those. It was a bit more accessible to get access to the guests. And they've pared that down significantly in the last 2 festivals. Access to the celebrities tends to be, if you run into them on the street, that's about it. Because everything else is very tightly controlled in terms of placement. The pool screenings, the celebrity intros used to happen like right in the middle, and now they happen in the far corner away from the crowd. I think a lot of people, if they assume they're going to have access to signings and stuff, that tends to be pretty limited.
It is. Since I work with celebrities, and I have my own personal rules around celebrities, and I tend to not approach them. If I can't answer my 2 questions, which are, am I going to be able to say anything to them that they haven't heard 1,000 times? Do I have anything to say to them that would benefit them, that would make them go, oh? Then I tend to not try to meet celebrities. My one celebrity that I broke my own rules on was Mickey Rooney. When I met him was in 2009, I believe. Judy Garland is my all-time absolute favorite actress, singer, and I figured if anybody on this earth who would know Judy, I thought, oh, well, this is my perfect real way to have a one degree of separation from Judy. And frankly, I was a little disappointed. I had a Look magazine from 1940, and it had Mickey and Judy on the cover of it. And everybody else in Mickey's entourage was going, wow, look at that Look magazine. I haven't seen one of those in decades. And Mickey, bless his heart, signed his name on top of Judy. And I was
Mickey Rooney was definitely more on the crotchety end. I think that's the nice way to put it.
It probably would have been better if I just left him where he was in my head. Instead of having that moment of disappointment.
A lot of the stories that I have tend to be because I cover red carpet. Kim Novak shook my hand as she was walking by. Carl Bernstein said hi to me. Margaret O'Brien said she liked my dress. I almost cried in front of Julie Andrews. But I always say Keith Carradine's kind of like my TCM best friend. Because every time I see him, he always remembers me and we always end up talking. And
really?
His people always have to tell him, like, you got to go now because you can't be hanging out here. But yeah, he's always my TCM best friend. So it's always great just to be in somebody's presence like that because you have so much history there. It's remarkable. And it's always sad to me when people say the guests aren't that great this year for X reasons. And you have to say the human mortality rate here.
Grandkids and scholars are going to be who we have. I am grateful for anybody who does come out.
Watching the Robert Osborne tribute and seeing just the amazing people that he interviewed, many of whom sadly are no longer around anymore, but just knowing that the ones that are still out there, you know, you can hope that they'll make an appearance at some point. This year's fest is probably going to be bittersweet, just knowing that Robert Osborne's not around anymore. And I know he wasn't at the previous festivals, and we had gotten used to him not being on our screens, but knew that he was around. And I'm prepping to really feel it this fest. Let's wrap things up with talking about some of the things that we're excited to see, some of the Sophie's choices that we're experiencing this fest. What are some things you're looking forward to in terms of guests and movies, and what are some tough decisions you're already dreading making?
The overview of the Nickelodeon, I forgot what that's called, is one of the tops. And the IBU Works, that's another one. Those are both things that you can't see anywhere else. Those are my top. Then there's Speedy with the Alloy Orchestra. So Harold Lloyd doing his antics to Alloy Orchestra. I can't wait for that. Black Narcissus, that's one of the nitrate prints. Black Narcissus is a beautiful film anyway. Cock of the Air, 1932. Pre-code films are always a go-to for me.
I have so many. I'm definitely going to try to make time to see Jean-Pierre Bougeot. Some things that I want to see, but I don't know. It's tough to debate between the things you've seen 1,000 times and the things that you've never seen. So they're showing Bye Bye Birdie. Bye Bye Birdie is one of my favorite musicals. I feel like I need to go see that. Same with Cat People. I love Cat People so much. But Cat People is one of those that conflicts with new stuff that I haven't seen, like those redheads from Seattle. Laura on Night Trade is also at the same time. I'm debating between all of those. I really want to see Postcards from the Edge, especially with an intro by Todd Fisher. They're also showing Harold and Maude, which I keep telling people that I want to see. And I figure, well, it's playing. It can't really do any better than TCM screening. They're also showing Barefoot in the Park, which I had some great times watching a Robert Redford film last year. Why not go see another Robert Redford film this year? And you really can't do any better than Robert Redford on the big screen. That's just scratching the surface. You and I both know you make these plans and then you actually get down there and you end up throwing the plans away, depending on the situation. Kelly, thank you so much for joining me today. Where can fans get in touch with you and learn more?
I am on Facebook at the URL, facebook.com/KellyKitchens, one word. I'm actually Kelly J. Kitchens Wickersham, so don't let that throw you. The Going to TCM Film Festival, Classic Film Festival group, it's at facebook.com/ClubTCMFan. That is a closed group. And the reason that it's a closed group is because we don't want the world knowing when we're not home. It's very important to me that that group remains a kind and generous group. I'm also on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Kelly J Kitt. So KellyJKitt.
That'll close out this edition of Ticklish Business. You can listen to Ticklish Business a multitude of ways, either directly at ticklishbusiness.podbean.com, via Stitcher Radio, or on iTunes. If you are listening via iTunes, please consider leaving a rating and review to help the podcast out. As always, you can contact me directly at ticklishbiz, that's B-I-Z, at gmail.com, or visit me at my official website, where I discuss classic films regularly, journeysinclassicfilm.com. You can also visit over the next couple of days to see my live from the TCM Classic Film Festival coverage. The podcast is also on Twitter at ticklish_biz. Want to listen to episodes early or have me review your favorite film? Then consider supporting Ticklish Business via Patreon. I have a wealth of amazing perks, and all your donations go back into making Ticklish Business the premier classic film podcast. If you're interested in becoming a patron, just head over to patreon.com/ticklishbiz. Next time, I'll be sharing exclusive audio and more from the 2017 TCM Classic Film Festival. Till next time.